Hey, Dan, you seen any movies lately?
No, I haven't seen anything five times. It's fine.
Okay.
No. Yes, I've seen Ghostbusters Frozen Empire five times, yes. Yes, I have. Have we not talked about this yet?
We have not talked about this yet.
I thought we talked about this.
No, the last conversation we had was me telling you a week ago today, or 2 weeks ago today, that I saw the screening, and then you shared with me your review. I told you about the screening, and then the next time that we were both in the same stratosphere was when Nick read your email on the air where you mentioned me.
Yes,
thank you for that.
Yeah. Ghostbusters was awesome. And yes, please feel free. Part of the reason why I want to do this is so you could also react to the chat live without having me to relay it to you. So react away, my friend. I don't know what critics are complaining about. Let me start it right there. I don't understand. That was fantastic. Quite honestly, this is everything I've been waiting for since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
From this series. And for those like, it wasn't meant to be a franchise.
Tough. It already is.
Well, number one, tough. Number two, Aykroyd was trying to get a sequel done between those 5 years from Ghostbusters 1 to 2. And he was trying to get a third one done for like 20 years. So please. Yeah. Stop talking if you don't know what you're talking about. He's wanted it to be. Sorry, everyone. It to be a franchise. It is a franchise. And despite, as I said to Nick and Preston, and thank you for trusting me, boys and girls, despite what critics say, that's a fun movie. There's no reason it should be getting that kind of hate. It ain't that serious in that way. Like, people that are putting holes through the plot, the premise of the movie is busting goats with goats. The different movie. Busting ghosts with a portable nuclear accelerator. Start that way and work your way forward. It ain't that serious, boys and girls. It was awesome. It looked amazing. Mm-hmm. The mix between the mix with CGI and puppets was astounding. Mm-hmm. You can tell the difference. I never had a problem with Answer the Call, the 2016 Ghostbusters movie. I thought those ghosts looked great. I loved the way they filmed them, which was still in a different way, a mix of practical mm-hmm. CGI. But this, when a certain green spud shows up.
Yes.
You could tell that is an actor. An actor. One of those things, like for the video game, just a side note, that they announced that one of the downloadable contents is the Scolari brothers from the second movie. And I always was bummed out as a kid and into an adult that there's one good shot of them mm-hmm. in the courtroom scene. And then you see them a bunch, but you never get a good shot of them again. And there's that initial shot where they pop up from behind the barrier in front of the desk where you get a good look at them. And it looks mm-hmm. spectacular. And Karaka looked amazing. Nadim's character arc was spectacular. Mm-hmm. You didn't earn it. Mm. Okay. The movie's only an hour and 55 minutes. Slow down. There is a great scene with Patton Oswalt, who is basically the guy who explains what and why and how,
right?
Which was done great, but there's a little period to the end of that scene where they're chasing something, and it was old fashioned Dan Aykroyd. He pulls an Aykroyd face, like it was an SNL sketch, mm-hmm. and he just realizes like something's watching me, and just looks up, and he was great in it. Ernie Hudson was spectacular. There is a scene between them, between Ray and Winston. And Winston in the stairwell. That's beautiful and poetic, but also you couldn't tell me these two were actors and not actual friends that were doing the job together for 40 years.
Well, it's the same kind of moment they had in the first movie when they were driving across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes, yes. And also, I don't know if you noticed it, but Ray threw out his nickname in the middle of this argument, very reminiscent of Ghostbusters 2, because they start fighting because of the mood slime, and Egon's the one that can break that and go, hey, whoa, whoa, hey. And I just want to say about Ernie Hudson, he can hang with those guys, which is a lot.
And also want to say about Ernie Hudson, as how great he looks, the man's 78 years old.
I was about to say that man's 78.
Yes.
And he looked good. He looked real good. The lab, the secondary characters. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I saw it, I was like, this should be longer.
Yeah.
Why is this not longer? But in subsequent viewings, I'm like, that's fine, man. This is great. This is great. If you must tear down that movie and complain about it and write an article about it for clicks, please know you're stupid. And the only thing you're hurting is the franchise. And not to intentional pun. You're not a gatekeeper. You don't get to decide if the franchise gets to continue. The cartoon that's going to continue the story, so a third animated series, is very much greenlit, very much in production and going forward. And personally, I really have zero problems with that movie. I have zero problems with any of the movies. I like all those movies. If you want me to sit here and pick it apart, I have better things to do. I always thought it would be better served as a series anyway.
Yeah, well, it was.
There's so many stories to tell, so please go for it.
It was meant to be a series. I mean, that's how Harold Ramis wrote it, and that's how we saw it. I mean, all the way back to that. I mean, when Aykroyd came up with the idea, all the way back in 1982, it was a vehicle for John Belushi and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
that was the original plan. So this was always meant to be a series, always meant to be not just a one and done thing. Obviously, they had no idea that in 1984 it would become the highest grossing movie comedy of all time for a while, but that just set everything in motion. And what we, you know, whether it was going to be or not, it wasn't. It was meant to be a story with many chapters, and the fact that we got so many is proof of that. And it's 40 years later, and look where we are.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys know this, for those that are complaining, well, they just want to sell toys, because no movie franchise has ever done that before Star Wars. My favorite, just a side note, is my favorite is when people say, well, Disney just wants to sell toys. Do you guys not remember? I think Kelly is the one that explained the original Star Wars toy release, that was the first one that was had in a, you had to pre-order them all because of the demand. I believe that's correct.
Yeah. And that was 7 years before Ghostbusters.
Yes, yes, yes. So please don't kid yourself. Disney didn't toyify Star Wars. Sony Pictures didn't toyify Ghostbusters. The cartoon was in development before the movie came out on video. Yeah. Stop it. How much did they care about the TV show? The same producers who produced the movie produced the animated series and hired J. Michael Straczynski to be the showrunner. They weren't serious about it being a franchise. Speaking of franchises, if you're there and I don't fault you for, I don't fault anybody out there listening to this for listening to critics. I understand they're doing a job and your job is to review the movie. I implore you to not always never take a critic's word as the word. They're getting paid to do that. They're not fans. If you are a fan of comedy or a fan of Ghostbusters, especially, you will have fun. That's it. It's fun. The stakes are high, not that high, but they're high enough to where you go, uh-oh. And then we're back around.
Yeah, and I've always said this about to anyone, and I was friends with Patrick Stoner, who if you're a fan of PBS or public television, you know him from Quick Flicks. He's been reviewing and critiquing movies for about 45 years. But when I worked at WHYY, which is a PBS affiliate here in Philly, I worked there for 7 years. Great guy. I had a show, a variety show, and I had him on as a guest. He brought his own clips. He was very nice. He didn't have to do any of this because this guy talks to movie stars for a living. But one of the questions that he asked that I wanted to ask him, and I went over this with him, he goes, he wanted me to ask him, why do we have critics? Why do we need critics? He said, we don't need critics. We've never needed critics. I have a job being critic, but no, nobody needs to listen to me. No one needs to think that what I think of a movie is the be all end all. See it for yourself. And what I say, when he's had this show Quick Flicks on PBS for 35 years, but he says the same thing, even if it's a movie that I can't stand, see it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean go see it. I'm a comic book fan. I don't know if you guys that listen to HIAC Talk Radio know this about me. And for the last couple of years, comic book movies are not being well reviewed or well received. And they're painted with the same brush. So if I hear someone say, oh, I heard The Flash sucked, that doesn't mean I'm not going to go see it. I heard the same thing about Madam Web. And you know what? It did suck. But I still went and saw it and find out for myself. Because that's what movies are for. Just because, and if a group of people or a small group of people say, I heard Ghostbusters suck, why would that dissuade you from seeing that if you were going to see it anyway, or if you had any interest in it? Because one guy said so, or because this group of people said so? See for yourself. Why always watch it? Patrick Stoner himself, we don't need critics. I don't, they're unnecessary. But if you're a fan of, like Dan said, if you're a fan of comedy, or especially if you're a fan of Ghostbusters, I don't know why you wouldn't see it. Just like if you're a fan of comic book movies, I wouldn't know why you wouldn't see a comic book film. Just because, what are the odds of this ever being, when you were reading comic books like me, the idea of any of these characters being in a movie, forget it. It wasn't going to happen. And the fact that I get to see it in my lifetime means I'm going to go see whatever comic book movie comes down to pass. Maybe not in the theater, but I will see it when it comes out on streaming. Ghostbusters is a franchise. And again, it came out in 1984, and I saw it the summer I went away to college. That's how old I am. And I absolutely loved it. But to think that 40 years later, I'd still be in a hurry to see Ghostbusters, and I still enjoyed it as much as I did the first time I saw it. Mind-blowing. So that alone makes it a triumph. The fact that this movie that came out 40 years ago, when most of you weren't even born.
I was.
Reached a whole new generation of fans, and I love it. Way to go, Flyers.
Yes, way to go, Flyers. I love the fact that we can both look at this now. This is another reason I wanted to move to doing it like this, so we could all interact with everything that was going on. And I love Misty and everybody else that's been in here all night. That has been, I say all night, it's been like a little over an hour and a half.
Feels like it.
I know this is a wrestling podcast, but one more thing about movies, Craig. I was sitting there when I was seeing the Ghostbusters for the fifth time. Something occurred to me. Mm-hmm. And you go to more movies than me. So this is why I held off saying anything on social media until talking to you. AMC theater screens suck. Do all theater screens suck now? Like, it doesn't look good. Is it me?
You're saying AMC screens suck?
Every the AMC screen. Well, every movie theater that I saw it in, the screens were god awful, and I don't remember them looking like crap like this. The Cinemark I went to had a line across it, and really? They paid full price for us to watch it on that.
Okay.
And it was not focused. Wow. At the AMC Marlton, by the way.
Okay.
And I've been going there for years, even since I've moved out. I saw Guardians there opening weekend because I happened to be there in Jersey mm-hmm. the weekend it opened, so I went to see it there. And I don't remember it being that bad. How did it look to you?
It looked great. And I when I saw the screening was at a smaller theater in Old City, Philly. I see most of the movies I see at a Cinemark theater, the biggest screen in Philly, down at the I want to say the Gallery, but it's called the Fashion District now. But they have IMAX screens and they have big screens, and I see it, and it's one of those Nicole Kidman walking through an empty theater. Movie theater. So it's an AMC theater, and every movie I've seen there has been, I haven't had any issues. I saw Iron Claw there. I saw the one before Ghostbusters there. I saw Madam Web there. It's maybe great. So I'm sorry you're having a problem down there. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, maybe I just need to pick better theaters, man.
Probably. But yeah,
hey, no, go ahead. Finish your thought.
It sucks that you had that experience there. I haven't had any bad experiences with AMC theaters here or any of the theaters I've seen movies on here.
Son of a bitch. Well, all right. Well, then I need to pick better theaters. And to add on to us, the little theater in town here, much better screen. So I need to look at reviews more often. Anyway, it's all about WrestleMania, and we're going to talk about, I think we're going to have to come back on next week to talk about what happened this gigantic week of wrestling that's happening. Mm-hmm. But we'll worry about that after I get through today, because I've been on the road all day and then right on to this. So I figured, past all the technical difficulties from the last episode, now that we're running at 100%, it's WrestleMania, so why don't we just do the WrestleMania historian?
Okay.
The spotlight's on you, bud. No pressure.
No pressure. Well, it is WrestleMania week, kids. And you'll find this week in pro wrestling history, there were several big events that occurred on WrestleMania, and there were several WrestleManias. WrestleMania itself has been through so many changes.
Is that a comment at me, Misty?
That spotlight is crap.
This spotlight's crap.
She's asking me to be careful. Do I have to be careful? The spotlight being crap?
Is it me?
I don't understand. Okay. But I'm being careful. I'm treading lightly.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, she's kidding.
Is it you? I mean, I'm glad you're kidding, but I won't try to take that personal.
No, scared me a little bit. Anyway,
look out!
Look out! Look out, man!
Look out, man!
It's called karate. WrestleMania has been a staple, been the crown jewel in WWE's crown. Since 1985, and coincidentally, as we will have it, this week in professional wrestling, In professional wrestling history, marked the very first WrestleMania that took place March 31st, 1985 in the Madison Square Garden in New York City. The very first WrestleMania. Not the first pay-per-view, but it was the first WrestleMania shown on closed-circuit television throughout the world, and actually shown in other arenas on closed-circuit TV on a big screen. Case in point, I was in college when WrestleMania 1 premiered. I went to college in Florida, so I had to go to the Lakeland Civic Center, the home of Championship Wrestling from Florida, Gordon Soley, NWA territory, to watch WrestleMania. Now, I was a freshman in college in 1985, and I would go to Florida Championship Wrestling shows at the Lakeland Civic Center. And in 1985, folks, the tickets were $8. So I got to see
Jesus
in Championship Wrestling from Florida. Then the stars back then were Rick Rude, the Fabulous Freebirds, very young Jim Neidhart, Brian Blair. That Brian Blair was the Florida heavyweight champion.
Dang.
So I got to see these guys once a month. Then Lakeland Civic Center was $8. So when I heard WrestleMania was going to be at the Lakeland Civic Center, I said, okay, well, I can afford that. Now, keep in mind, I'm a freshman, college student, had no money at all. So I took all the money I had, including about $1.50 in pennies, to go to the Lakeland Civic Center. Now, with the college I went to, Florida Southern College, was a 30-minute walk from the college to Lakeland Civic Center. And I had about $11 total to my name. But I said, and I started walking. I was like, well, you know what? Let me grab all of my money because I might want to get a drink, because I figured the tickets are $8. I might want to get a drink, or I might get a program. So I took the entire $13.51. That's all I had to my name. So I figured, because I wanted to get a ticket and get a program or something, because it was a big deal. And tickets for all the other events at the Lakeland Civic Center for wrestling was $8. So I walked 30 minutes to the Lakeland Civic Center to see their very first WrestleMania. Tickets for their very first WrestleMania at the Lakeland Civic Center, $13.50. Every stinking dime I had, all the money I had in the world. Had I not gone back to get the rest of my money, I would have walked 30 minutes for nothing and seen nothing. But the $13.50 I spent to see the very first WrestleMania was indeed amazing. Even for it at an NWA, in the NWA stronghold, the place was packed. I was screaming, amazing. But the thing is, if you look in hindsight, the card was no bigger than a typical Madison Square Garden card. The big deal was the main event, which was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. The main event of the very first WrestleMania made even more hyped by the fact that the night before, Saturday night, March 30th, 1985, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T hosted Saturday Night Live. Great stuff, but this was a different era, kids. What I remember most was Junkyard Dog coming to the ring to Another One Bites the Dust to try to take the Intercontinental title from Greg the Hammer Valentine, and where Bruno Sammartino being in the corner of his son, David Sammartino, take on...
The boy.
God, forgot who. Brutus Beefcake.
I was going to say, wait, I know this one.
And Johnny Valiant. And the fact that Johnny Valiant interfered, and then Bruno jumped in the ring to kick the ass of Johnny Valiant, who I now know they've been friends for going on 60 years. It was Bruno that got the Valiant brothers into the WWF in the first place. So it was great to see those two old friends hook up. Muhammad Ali was the special guest referee. That's what we were told, but he was stationed outside for the whole match, and Pat Patterson, who put the match together, was a referee inside the ring. Muhammad Ali going to the Hall of Fame this year, long overdue. But yeah, so the very first WrestleMania, March 31st, 1985, where it all began. Do you remember the first time you saw the first WrestleMania, Dan?
Oh, God. No, it wasn't until after the year 2000 when I finally got my hands on it.
Okay.
It was a lot of skipping. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, of course, by then they had to re-edit all the music because, like I said, Junkyard Dog came out to Another One Bites the Dust. Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda came out to Born in the USA. Obviously, Hogan came out to Eye of the Tiger. And they edited all of Jesse Ventura's voice out of it, even though he and Gorilla called the entire card.
God, so, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, that's why Jesse sued, and that's why Jesse won. Jesse also won because the residuals for the Coliseum home video WrestleMania, the residual checks went to Hogan, Mr. T, even Cyndi Lauper. But Jesse got nothing, hence the sue. And I don't know why the Phillies can't win.
Shut up, sports bot. Yes, exactly. God damn it.
It's okay, Misty. We got 158 games. We got 158 more games to go.
Yeah, 158 more days of fucking misery to go.
Yes, that's okay. It's always August. But also March 31st, 96 was WrestleMania 12. That took place in Anaheim, famous for the Roddy Piper Gold Dust parking lot brawl, where Roddy legit got hit by a car that broke his wrist, and they recreated the OJ chase. And that was also the. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Shut up. Smartass. Only 937 games left of the season. No time to turn anything around. It's my wife, everyone.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Plenty of time. Plenty
of time.
WrestleMania 12 was also it's the Undertaker versus Diesel match, and that turned out to be Diesel's final WrestleMania match ever. Who knew that?
Well, they did.
Yeah. Of course, later on that year, Kevin Nash would make a bigger splash as starting of the NWO. But that would be his last WrestleMania match. Also, on that WrestleMania 12, Triple H had his very first WrestleMania match ever. Unfortunately, it was against the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Sorry, bud.
But I guess WrestleMania 12 will also always be known as the for the Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels' epic entrance and him winning his very first World Heavyweight Championship.
And the beginning of him being a dick to Bret.
Yes, and that's where it all started. But it's
all Bret's fault, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, Bret screwed Bret on that.
Yeah, yeah. Shut up, Vince.
Which brings us to today in WrestleMania history. You probably already saw the many tributes to it on social media today. Today, April 1st, 1990 was the WrestleMania 6 in Toronto Sky Dome, and 67,678 folks on hand to see Warrior versus Hogan. And what we don't have to rehash that match again, but what was also special about WrestleMania 6. It was the first time, the first WrestleMania, the first time on WWE TV of two Hall of Famers, One of them on camera, DDP, who was appeared on WrestleMania only because he owned a pink Cadillac that he used to drive the team of Rhythm and Blues. Greg Valentine and the Honky Tonk Man drove them to the ring. So, yes, that was DDP driving them, who was driving them in the ring. Also, making his first appearance, unbeknownst to everyone there, but through microscopic cameras, you could see him in the audience, was a young Adam Copeland.
Ah, that's at right. Yes.
WrestleMania 6.
Sexton Hardcastle himself.
Sexton Hardcastle. and we will skip over the Roddy Piper Bad News Brown match.
Yeah, we're good with that one.
I will not skip over the fact that Roddy Piper had to go to an airport with half of his skin covered black because he couldn't get the makeup off. But yes.
Roddy.
Keep in mind, this was 3 years after his retirement match at WrestleMania 3. But I digest.
Roddy. Also,
Roddy.
Roddy. I love you dearly, Mr. Piper, Mr. Toombs. But he's like, I was doing Michael Jackson. I don't know why anybody, because Michael Jackson don't move like that. You're pale white. Stop it. And I assume he was trying to do the Star Trek, the original series thing.
Yeah.
But you have to tell people that because nobody knows what the half blackface is still bad. It's not half bad. It's still bad.
It's all bad.
God, everything you're doing is bad. I want you to know this.
Speaking of bad, also on this day, another WrestleMania moment, WrestleMania 17, 2001, at the former Houston Astrodome. Another crowd of 67,000 got to see WrestleMania 17. I said speaking of bad because that was the home of the gimmick Battle Royal. starring such luminaries as Brother Love and Jim Cornette. The two finalists were Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik, with Slaughter going over the top rope only because
she could not.
Because Sheik had an artificial hip and could not go over the top rope.
And probably it's probably my favorite of all the lines Bobby Heenan's ever thrown out in his life.
Yes.
It was just, sometimes it's just the timing. It's not the joke, it's the timing. And it's just him going, by the time Iron Sheik gets down to the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 38. I didn't hear commentary for a minute because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Bobby. God, we miss you. Also, historic about this WrestleMania 17, it would be the very last of the TLC Wars, one that was made famous, that was called, drawn attention to, in the A&E biography Rivals edition on WWE. Today in history, in WrestleMania 17, 2001, 23 years ago, was the last TLC match between Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and the Dudley Boys. But I think WrestleMania 17 will probably always be known for the main event, the third time it's happened. It's still a record. Steve Austin defeated The Rock and turned heel and joined Mr. McMahon. And folks will point to that as what killed the downturn of the WWE popularity, having Steve Austin turn heel. They recovered, but they took a severe hit because no one wants to boo Steve Austin. It did give us some great, great moments on TV. Of a heel, Steve Austin hugging Vince McMahon. The invasion angle where Austin and Angle and Undertaker all had to be on the same page while Vince was addressing the troops and Austin was doing his best to try to crack Undertaker up. Absolute gold.
I count that. I count it. He laughed.
Oh, he did. He broke.
He broke. Doing I count it.
Because he was repeating everything Vince said. It's a gold invasion. And whether we like it or not, whether we like each other or not, Austin's like, I do not. Doesn't matter.
Listen, I know people hate that he turned heel, but that was so good. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
It's so goddamn funny. Him getting mad at Deborah's cookies. Him singing to Vince.
Yeah.
It's the one always gets me is him going, I am the champion. Vince is looking away, so he taps him on the leg.
And him and Kurt, they were Cowboys, and Kurt with a tiny, and the fact that every time that Austin was going to have brought the guitar out and was going to sing, he go,
Yes.
Oh, man. Heel Austin may have killed the business, but man, he had some great.
Hey, he might have killed the business, but it was really funny.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Angle joining made it comedy gold, says Kelly.
Oh, most definitely. Angle was comedy gold, independent of Austin. But you put him with Austin. Yeah, that was. A license to print money.
It's that little cowboy hat.
Yeah.
This man is a legitimate Olympic superstar, legend, athlete. Yeah. And here he is. He doesn't go to ECW because they do the crucifix angle with Raven and Sandman. And here he is. Was it with Sandman? Am I mixing up my years? Yeah.
Yeah.
And here he is on WWF Raw wearing a tiny cowboy hat with a star. Oh, man.
And the song, Jimmy Crack Corn, and I Don't
and
Care.
I don't
Jimmy care. Crack Corn, and I don't care. Because I got an Olympic gold.
So good. It's so good.
Great stuff.
Oh, man.
So that was 23 years ago today.
Never go. I'm sorry.
No, but the beginning of the Austin turn happened 23 years ago today. We got some great stuff out of it. And like Roscoe said, comedy gold angle. But 23 years ago, WrestleMania 17, the beginning of the Austin heel turn. And that, gentlemen and ladies, is the wrestling historian.
What are we looking forward to this weekend? I think the WrestleMania card is solid. I will say this. I don't know where they're going to go with the Cody Rhodes stuff. And I think, let me just go. I want to be on record on the podcast saying that The Rock is still the best thing all these years later. I know we cut him. I know people give him shit for, he's an actor. He's Hollywood. Oh, he's coming back to get money. That the blood on TV again. Like we must have blood to make this important, but man, it's been so long since it's been okayed that was powerful. Him dropping the F-bomb, you will never fuck with The Rock.
Yes.
And the promos.
Fuck is the direction you is the direction you make. Off is the direction you can fuck. Yeah, if there was ever any further clear evidence and Vince is no longer in charge, it is that.
Best way possible. Vince did so much. I don't care. He's gone. It's gone. Stop it. This has been spectacular. I know everybody was freaking out like, oh, they're really going to give it to The Rock because they, you know, one day passed. It was great. It's great. And Hollywood Rock came back. Just the music coming back was good enough for me. But he took it a whole other step further. My favorite. I think that's me and one other random person on Twitter that they and I agreed that that was his best entrance music, was that Hollywood Rock theme.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as far as the cursing goes, no, I mean, everyone should
say fuck, man.
But if you're the Rock, then yes, you can, because you're the Rock. Now, if Ricochet starts cursing, then you've lost the plot. Then it doesn't mean anything. Anyone that's going to do that, it damn well better be the Rock or somebody on the Rock's level doing it. But again, what makes it great, because only one person is doing it. If everyone's doing it, it means nothing. Or if the lowest card guy on WWE is doing it, it means nothing. That's AEW's problem. If you got guys on the opening bout going through tables or doing 450 splashes, why the hell would I care who does it if somebody does it in the main event? Because it doesn't mean anything, because everyone's doing it.
I saw that argument on Twitter where people were like, oh, so the Rock gets to curse? Like you just said, yeah, it's the Rock. Yes. I don't think you understand how much that man's worth.
Yes. Yeah, that's what makes it, again, because everyone's talking about it. If, like I said, if freaking Ricochet or Ivar cursed, that would be a big deal, only because why would they do it? But if they curse and then the Rock cursed, then it means nothing. Then you're a cliche. Yes, when you're at the level of the Rock and he curses, he gets away with it. Yes, because he's the Rock. If you want to curse too, be on the level of the Rock. It's that simple.
Get where the Rock is and own a football league.
Yeah,
and then try again.
Yeah, and be on that level. I don't know if you saw it today. It aired live, and I was getting bits and pieces of it. And I, on my way home, watched the entire thing on the MMA show today. CM Punk was on for about an hour and a half. And the Ariel, I forgot his last name. Ariel, no, I want to say Mulani.
You're asking the wrong guy there.
Okay. But CM Punk spoke for the first time in public about his time in AEW and about what happened with Jack Perry. He walked through it, you know, step by step from the very beginning up until, you know, the end, and how he got fired and what happened. He detailed a lot of things about AEW, why AEW.
I missed this. Trended. You're enlightening me, my friend.
CM Punk was on the it's called the MMA Hour, and the guy. Sorry.
No, the comment Ash just left just cracked me up. But Craig, you're on the wrong side.
Wrong side of what? Oh.
Well, you're usually on the other side of the screen. There, I fixed it.
Oh, phew. Okay, sorry about that, Ash. Yeah.
Sorry, Ash. Oh, my God.
That was close. Yeah. God, sorry about that. Am I on the wrong, like, am I on the wrong side of history? Am I on the wrong side right I should be now? Supporting? Should I be supporting AEW? Am I, which side am I? Okay.
Panic there for a second. Woo! Sorry.
Yeah. Don't scare me, Ash. Woo! Wow, I'm on the wrong side. God damn it.
Jesus.
I thought I was liberal. Fought for what's right.
That was amazing. Yeah. Good okay. Shit, Ash. Thank you.
Anyway, CM Punk today on the live interview with fuck. His last
with
name.
Fuck?
Ariel Helwani.
Helwani. Gotcha.
Who talks with all the wrestlers all the time, but he had CM Punk on live today, and he asked them why people love going on Ariel's show, because he asked the tough questions, and he earned trust, and CM Punk answered it because he said, in his words, to Ariel, you're an actual journalist, because when I had to deal with in the scrum, and what makes it hard to deal with is some guy in his basement who watches wrestling
and has his own blog,
but passes himself off as a journalist or a reporter. and I have to listen. I have to answer to those yahoos. But you, I will ask. And he said a lot about AEW, which I'll get to in a second. But he said there's a difference. And said, why are you just talking about this now? Why? He said, no one's asked me about it. He said, don't you? And he said, don't you have an NDA? He said, there's a difference between not being able to talk about it and not wanting to talk about it. And he walked through the entire Jack Perry incident. He walked through the entire Adam Page incident. CM Punk said he and Hangman Adam Page went over his promo that night, what he was going to say, how Punk was going to answer, what they were going to talk about. And kind of like with Curb Your Enthusiasm, we're going to a point. You can say what you want to say, then I'll say what I'm going to respond to, and then we'll get to the end, which was, you know, Hangman hitting Punk and them going into a schmoz. Well, Hangman went out there and didn't say anything that they talked about. And Punk was trying to, didn't say anything because he was trying to hear what Hangman was saying because the crowd was so loud. And he was trying to understand. And he already had his response, but it was to what they had already gone over. So what he was going to say wasn't going to match what Hangman said because Hangman went off script and went into business for himself. So I'm a professional, and we went to the end. He took the slap, and he doubled, you know, took him down, and they ended in a schmoz. But he went back to Tony. He said, are you going to deal with this? Because either you deal with this, or I'm going to have to deal with it, and you're not going to like the way I deal with this. That was Hangman. So after the suspension, when Punk came back, he was given his own show. He was given Collision. And he said, we're going to have separate shows. And Punk said, I don't think it's going to work, but okay. He said, I would rather us all sit down and talk so we can coexist together rather than putting us on separate shows. But he was given Collision, and he got to work with the guys that he wanted to, booked the way he wanted to, and all was right with the world. And then he's at catering, and Tony Schiavone comes up to him and said, please, you have to talk to Jack Perry, who Punk didn't even know was there. He wasn't supposed to be on the show. So he says, Tony Schiavone tells Punk he's been cursing out Jerry Lynn, Larry McDonald, and the head of security. They all told him no, and he's cursing them out. And then he cursed out Tony Schiavone. So then he came to get Punk. He goes to get Punk, and Punk leaves catering, leaves his food, goes to Jack Perry, who's sitting in a car, and he said he likes this idea of going through the glass. And it's a rental car. So Punk's like, so you want to break this glass and then give the rental car back with no windshield? It's boys killing the boys. Now the rental company, whoever it is, don't rent to professional wrestlers anymore. So now we can't get cars because you want to go through glass. So this guy's telling you no. This guy's telling you no. Larry's telling you no. Tony's telling you no. Now I'm telling you no. Not that it's a bad idea, but just not now. Not for, you know, free TV. And Jack Perry said, okay, you're right. And they didn't have any incident. And Punk said, because I like Jack Perry. I've always liked Jack Perry. So that was it. And then flash forward to London, where he said, you know, real glass, cry me river. So Ariel asked him what happened between the time he said it was okay and until London. He said, because of his friends. He talked to his friends got in his ear, and next thing you know, he's yelling, real glass, cry me a river. And Ariel asked him, well, where were you when this happened, when he said that? He said, I was in my dressing room. I didn't hear it. Somebody told me he said that. So when he came back through the curtain, I asked him, do you have a problem with me? And then Jack Perry said, well, maybe I do. Do you want to do something about it? And then Punk, okay, as he was telling the story, he laughed just like that. Danny, he just said, what are you doing? He goes, I don't understand why you can't, you know, just take direction or just take. And before Jack came back through, Punk said to Tony Khan, who was also a gorilla, are you going to take care of this? And Tony Khan says, what do you want me to do? And Punk said, I'm not telling you what to do, but you're a boss. Be the boss. So, he just like he said before, I agree, Ash. He said, Punk said, are you going to handle this? Or am I going to handle this? Because if I handle this, you're not going to way I like to, you're not going to way, you're not going to like the way I handle this. So, Jack came through the door. The curtain, Punk met him. He said, do you have a problem? And Jack said, yes. What do you want to do about it? And Punk said, I didn't hit him. I didn't slap him. I just put a chokehold on him. And that was it. Joe told me to break it up. Jerry Lynn told me to break it up. I went back to my room, went to the dressing room. And I told Tony he was a clown. And I quit.
And he called Tony a clown or Jack Perry.
Tony a clown.
Got
and
it.
He said, he's right. And he said, I quit. But he went back and he did the match. And Ariel didn't know that he thought he walked out. He didn't know. Oh, so you went ahead with the match? He goes, yeah, I went ahead with the match because I knew this would be the last time I would ever wrestle Samoa Joe. Ever. And I didn't want to let him down, Jerry Lynn down, or the crowd, the people that paid their money. A lot of them might have paid to see me, and I couldn't do that to them. So I wrestled it as if, because I knew it was my last match. And he said, what happened when you went back through the curtain after the match? He goes, nothing. Tony wasn't there. Jack had been sent home, so I was there watching the match. And then the head of security came by. I think his name was Stan. And he walked up to Punk. He goes, what are your plans for the rest of the night? And he goes, I was just going to watch the matches and take a shower and go home. He goes, okay. And Punk's like, well, do you want me to leave? And he goes, no, I'm not telling you to leave. And Punk goes, would it be easier for you if I left? Because I'm not trying to fuck up anyone's job. You have a job to do. I don't want to mess up anyone. If it's easier for you, then I will leave. And so that's what he did. And he didn't find out he was fired until Tony Khan made the announcement in Chicago the next day. Nobody told him anything. Keep in mind, if you want to listen to the when Punk was hurt the first time, when he tore his tricep, that's the one thing he couldn't talk about was what happened in the dressing room because he did sign an NDA. He right. said, now, I've never had to sign an NDA for something I did wrong.
Right.
So he couldn't talk about that. But when he tore his tricep, and he never said whether he tore his tricep in the match that night or he tore his tricep in the locker room fight. But when he tore his tricep the first time, Dan, Ash, when Punk addressed that, when Tony Khan said he feared for his life, because I never once approached Tony Khan. I never got any. I said to him, you're a clown, and I quit. That's it. I never raised my hand. Again, my thing was with Jack. And it was Joe and Jerry Lynn who broke up the fight. Tony Khan was nowhere near me or Jack. So I don't know where he feared for his life, but you'll have to ask Tony Khan that. But anyway, Punk didn't find out he was fired till the very next day when Tony Khan mentioned that on the air. To give you an idea how things are run there, when I was saying earlier, when Punk tore his tricep and he never said if it was in the match or if it was in the backstage fight with the Elite, when he was on the shelf for 6 months, no one, absolutely no one from AEW contacted him. about anything. He said, I was on an island. Nobody said a word to me. He said, it's a difference between the structure and where he was, because since he's been down in WWE, he's had people contacting him, telling him where to go to get physical therapy. He's having people give him, people that he reports to on his update on his status. People are contacting not just the people that work for WWE, but other wrestlers, other agents. He's in constant contact with everyone since he's gone down. But when he was after 6 months, no one from AEW contacted him at all. Again, this is all on YouTube. And people were wondering why he's never said anything, because nobody's ever asked him. And he said he doesn't like talking to press. And because he sees people as press, like the people he saw at the scrum, which he agreed was stupid. He said, the first time I did a scrum at AEW was my first night back in Chicago. So of course I'd do it. But after that one, the one that was Brawl Out or whatever, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone was tired. He's eating, his pickles and drinking his coffee. So why the hell would I be there? But of course, all the internet marks are there and they're passing themselves off as journalists. And that's why I don't talk to journalists or talk to the media. So when he asked me all these questions, it's not that I just didn't want to talk about it, but I haven't felt the need to. But it's on YouTube. I encourage everyone. It's called, or just Google CM Punk and Ariel Helwani. And it was Punk and Rhea Ripley were on his show today, this afternoon in New York. And it was fascinating. He talked about the difference between AEW and WWE. He said, I have nothing but love for AEW. I don't have any problem with them at all. I wish them the best.
Breaking news, Tony Khan is a liar, coward, asshole.
Yeah, but he said this very plainly. When Ariel asked him, why did you go to, after the first time, why did you go back to AEW? Because after the scrum, he said he was done. He said, because I thought that this was a wrestling company that was interested in making money, in drawing money, and drawing ratings, which is what I did when I was there. But they're not interested in that. They'd rather have 5-star matches in buildings that are a quarter full. That's what drives them. It's not about making money. It's not about drawing ratings or not about having sellout crowds. It's about pleasing a small, very small group of wrestling fans that think AEW is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it'll be around as long as Tony Khan puts money into it. It's certainly not going to be any competition for the WWE, because again, it's not a wrestling company. He said in the interview today, he said, we're in two different businesses. If you want to draw money and to draw ratings, and to draw people to come out to see, I'd still be in AEW. Or Jack Perry would have been fired instead of me. But they're not interested in that. And he never mentioned the Elite by name. He never mentioned, the only time he talked about was Adam Page. That was the only, he never mentioned the Young Bucks. He never mentioned Omega. Nobody like that. But it's a fascinating interview. Please, Ash, Dan, listeners, do yourself a favor. I listened to it. It was live today. It was live on YouTube. And I can listen to it all over again. And I probably will before the night's over.
Just unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal, all that.
Yeah, that was breaking news today. I thought that was one of the things I thought we were going to talk about. But I didn't know you hadn't heard it.
I was on the road all day getting home, so I had never seen that it came out until I think I saw it in passing in the 5 minutes I relaxed between doing this and getting home, and then kind of forgot about it once I got live. And
yeah,
but you covered it. That is your job.
That's what I do.
So basically, CM Punk is an older guy who doesn't want to deal with drama.
Yeah. And yeah. He said that, yes, Ash, that's exactly what he is. And that's exactly what he said, because now I'm the vet that, because I remember when guys were, I was, you know, running around. I'd never been on TV before. And I was talking to guys that had done it before me, running around, asking them questions. And now I'm the guy that people are going to ask questions to. So I would never turn anyone away. And I don't go around locker rooms like, people think I'm fucking Bruiser Brody just walking around swinging a chain. Everyone just get out of the way. I'm punching people in the face backstage. Because no, I will never give anyone unsolicited advice. If you ask me something, I'll tell you. He went to an indie show in Chicago, he said. And he asked, a person asked him, a young wrestler asked him, well, what did you think of my match? And Punk goes, what do you think I'm going to say? And she goes, the wrestler goes, that I should sell more and not cut down on the flying stuff. He goes, yeah. Because that's wrestling. But she's already been conditioned to think of wrestling, that indie wrestling is that, because AEW has an indie mindset. They're all about the moves. They're not about storytelling. They're definitely not about selling. And because of that, they're not in the business of drawing crowds, drawing interest, or drawing ratings. The only people who are interested in AEW are AEW fans. They're not going to pick up any new fans. They could have when they had a mainstream superstar there named CM Punk, who even casual non-wrestling fans know who that is. But no, they're not interested in that. And Ariel asks, why not? Because you're going to have to, you ask them. I don't know why they're not interested in drawing ratings or drawing money or drawing good houses. That's not what they're there for. You know, you've got guys there that are bad-mouthing your top star when doing that is hurting your own product. He even asked him, Punk, do you see any reconciliation with Colt Cabana? He said, no. Wow. He said, when's the last time you talked to him? I went to an indie show near Chicago, and I was behind the curtain, and Ariel said, was this pre-scrum or post-scrum? He said, it was pre-scrum. And Colt Cabana came up to him and said, yeah, can we talk so just things won't be weird between us? And Punk said, I don't ever want to talk to you again without a lawyer present. And that was it.
Whoa. I mean, he's not wrong.
Nope.
I have my own thing about Colt Cabana that I will not talk about on this show. It got nothing to do with me. It was secondhand, but I'm aware of a situation. He's a bitch.
Yes. Also dropped today with Ashley mentioned Seth Rollins, and that he knew that was the original plan. He did spill that, and Punk was, you can see Punk was visibly uncomfortable.
Oh, he did talk about it.
Yeah. Oh. And he was visibly uncomfortable because he hates pulling back the, he hates pulling back the curtain on pro wrestling.
I'm kidding.
Because Ariel asked him about what's the locker room like in WWE now. And Punk said, my first instinct is say none of your business, because that's always been his mindset. But now it's too familiar now. So yeah, when he asked about the original plan for WrestleMania, I said, yeah, it was supposed to be him and Seth for the belt.
That would have been awesome.
Yes.
That would have been so, it was so, God damn it.
But also today there was a watch party of WrestleMania, God, I think it was WrestleMania 2007 or 2000, between CM Punk and Randy Orton. And CM Punk and Randy Orton watched the match together. This was during the match, they couldn't stand each other. And they talked about why they hated each other. And Randy was like, because CM Punk's like, we hate each other. Reigns like, hate's a strong word. And he goes, I never hated you. I never hated anyone. And but he talked about their scrum that they had backstage because Randy Orton went to Arn and said, man, fuck CM Punk. Fuck him. And then Punk walked around the corner, said, fuck me? Said, you say it to my face, motherfucker. And then Randy was like, whoa, I didn't know you were there. The guy that I'm burying. I didn't know you were around the corner. And they had a big laugh about that. And they hugged. And he said it was more about immaturity on both of our parts. But they watched their match together, and they got it. And that's also on All Over. That's when I first saw that Punk did an interview today, was the clip of he and Randy side by side watching the match. He goes, this is more like a therapy session for two grown men. It's not a watch along. And afterwards they hugged and they said, now we're the old guys now. And Punk goes, yeah. And then Randy goes, let's go lead the locker room. Said, yeah, let's go lead that motherfucker. So that was another great moment. But yeah, between Seth, Punk and Orton, with Punk and Rollins, there's probably still some dissension there. But like Ash said, Rollins knows it's all about, you know.
Rollins knows what's. I just had this instinct, and I was not gonna like fuck with Ash when she was that upset or that angry about what was going on. Cause I get it. I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been that angry about wrestling today. Most likely, you know, but there was just something about it. I try not to be cocky or like internet journalist. Mm-hmm. There was just something about it that was so perfect. I'm like, this is a work. I believe this is a work. I've seen a lot of it. You've been there all for years. Mm-hmm. I was marking, okay? Isn't that the point? Yes, that's why I wasn't trying to fuck with you. I was like, you're upset, you're angry. If it's not a work, good. And if it is a work, that's the whole point. Exactly. It was not, I didn't want to shame you, fuck with you, upset you. I was just letting you go on. I was like, yeah, and we're talking about it, and it's fantastic.
And Punk walked through when he was fired from AEW. Nick Khan called Punk in November and asked him about coming back. And he thought that enough time had gone by. And this was the week of Thanksgiving. And Nick asked him, I don't know how much longer you have or you're no compete, but we wonder if you'd like to go back. And Punk said, I don't have a no compete. He never did.
Dan, he could have come to WWE the day after he was fired. He never had a no compete clause.
And it's kind of, and Nick Khan even said, God, I wish I'd known that sooner. But the week of Survivor Series. Survivor Series was that Saturday, or that Sunday. Nick Khan talked to Punk about coming back that Monday. That's how quickly, and every day leading up to that, including Thanksgiving night, when Triple H called him, and they FaceTimed and talked about coming in. His lawyers were on the phone working all that out, leading up until Saturday night. And outside of Punk, his wife, Triple H, both WWE lawyers and Nick Khan, nobody, including Seth, Randy Orton, everyone in that cage, knew that CM Punk was coming back. So that reaction by Seth was genuine. It was also played up.
Nice. Great. Good shit. Good.
It is good shit.
Man. Yeah, I am gonna probably go watch that right after this because I want to hear it from the man's mouth himself. That's crazy.
Yes.
And also, yeah. Yeah, that tracks. it tracks.
Yeah, it's called just Google or just YouTube CM Punk or CM Punk the MMA Hour. It aired live this afternoon. CM Punk and Rhea Ripley in studio, but Punk talks in depth about WWE, AEW, what happened there. He even talked about Vince. And the difference between Vince being there and Vince not being there, and even the last time he saw Vince. And even the time he got kicked out of a show in when he was there in May, when he worked for AEW, and there was a show, and WWE had a show in May, and Punk went there and just asked to leave. But it is when he worked for AEW.
CM Punk won me over during the WrestleMania hype show thing. Punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, that yeah, Big E almost gave away. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to have a tag team match?
Shut up. Wow. It really is. And you know what? I bet you if I go through Twitter, it's still going to be people glad handing them.
Yeah.
The AEW. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it.
And Punk already knows. People saying, yeah, I'm glad he's gone. Yeah, he's a locker room cancer. Yeah, he deserves to be fired. And it was all his fault and everything. He said, fine. You know, you can say whatever you want about me. That just makes me money. If you think I'm a locker room cancer, if you think I'm the problem, you think I was the reason why all this happened, great.
Okay.
Oh, fine.
Fine, whatever you say.
He said these words, Dan, and it reminded me of you so much. Say whatever you want about me, just leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, I do not care. I generally do not care, and genuinely is what I meant to say. Do not care what Bob, Harold, ACWA, I don't care, but I am going to be completely honest about my side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. But if you're gonna hire, also CM Punk supports trans lives, so can't be that bad to begin with. He really isn't. Yeah. I don't understand the backlash the guy gets.
No.
But then of course, you know, wrestling fans.
And I've always said this about CM Punk. Yeah, he may get into disagreements. He may rub people the wrong way. And when he was in AEW, he got all these backstage. It doesn't mean he's wrong.
That's the thing. That does not mean he's wrong.
Even when he did the pipe bomb, everything he said, I don't disagree with. When he said, John, Cena, I don't even have a problem with you. It's the fact that you're being shoved down the throat of everyone as being the best, where I think I'm the best, and I don't get, you know, on the cover of these magazines. I'm not gonna get my ice cream bars. I'm gonna get to be on Conan O'Brien or a crappy USA show, and I'm not even in the title of this program. But I'm so that's my, and I'm not being sour grapes. I'm just saying that this is my reality. You're being shoved down, and like everything he says, like, well, I don't disagree with any of that. He is the best in the ring, on the mic, even on commentary. So, yeah, so everyone can think about what CM Punk is a troublemaker and all that, and everything, it doesn't mean he's wrong. And if you listen to what he says about AEW and the way that place is run, he said Tony Khan is a nice guy. He's not a boss. He's just a nice guy.
And that's what I said.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with Tony. Well, I don't have a problem with CM Punk. I don't have a problem with Tony Khan in that way. But what have I always said? Stop being a friend. Be a boss.
Yeah.
If you were a boss, this wouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
Not a stop at the boss and not gone down to 13 other people. Mm-hmm. And then I do want to address what Ash said earlier. What happened to the I feared for my life? Somebody's just full of shit. Because now I'll have a problem with you.
Yeah. But according to Punk, and even before Punk said his side of the story, every eyewitness account there said it was between Punk and Jack. Yes, Tony Khan was backstage, but it was Joe who broke up the fight. It was Jerry Lynn who was right there. The only thing Punk did in Tony Khan's direction was tell him that he's a clown and I quit. He didn't say it in a threatening manner. He didn't get up in his face. According to Punk, he didn't. He just said this, you're a clown and I quit. But even if I got in your face, Dan, and yelled at you, you're a fucking clown and I quit, HIAC. When in that would you fear for your life? Especially if we've had a relationship for this long, or even as long as Tony Khan and CM Punk did. When would you fear for your life? And well, even if you did, I'm your fucking boss. You ain't gonna threaten me with shit.
That's true. Also true.
I don't know where my life would be in danger.
Well, I mean, if I was a different white person, maybe.
But yeah, I don't know. And Punk addressed that in the interview. I don't know where fear for his life came from, because I don't remember
it just threatening. Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No, well, the whole company doesn't make any goddamn sense, because
that's true.
The people in charge are a bunch of guys that talk bad about, that spread rumors about other people in the company, and they like who they want to like. Jack Perry, when told no, he said he was fine with it. Next thing you know, he's saying real glass, cry me a river. And the only people he had in contact with between then and there were his Cucamonga cowboy friends and his elite friends. And then the next thing you know, he's running his mouth. And one would even venture, the reason why he was cursing everyone out to begin with about wanting to use glass was because of who his friends were. The only reason why Hangman Page is going to go into business for himself and talk shit about CM Punk is because his friends told Adam Page that he's the one that got Colt Cabana fired, even though Colt Cabana hadn't been on TV in 6 months. But it's CM Punk's fault. And Punk even said, I'm all about sticking up for your friends. I do that all the time. I get that. That's fine. But if you're sticking up, if you're taking the words of people that weren't even there, and you're not even coming to me, and you want to do it on live TV, then we have a problem. And I don't remember them sticking up for anyone else. If you're going to stick up for your friends, I don't see them. You know, I never said bad mouth anyone else in the company because they weren't friends with somebody else. And there's people that I'm friends with that other people don't get along with, but I don't bury them. I certainly don't bury them on live TV or bury them to their face because I don't like who you're friends with.
Ask Darby how glass works.
Yeah, that's another genius. But he said he doesn't have any. He said there was more positive than negatives working for AEW.
Hey, that's good.
He said, Dan, he said, CM Punk said, I got to wrestle Sting. I never thought that would ever happen in my life. So he said, that's definitely a positive. If I had not signed with AEW, that never would have happened.
There is that.
Yes. So he was very positive. He still said, I wish AEW nothing but the best. I still have friends there. I'm not going to mention any names. And he said, very telling, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want them to get in trouble. Because I still want them to get paid. I still want them to be on TV.
That's how petty that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus H. Christ. Well, that is a whole ball of wax I was unaware of. TK needs to fire himself.
Yeah. So, Dan, if you want, when you watch that, if you want to have another show talking about that, we can talk about that too.
Oh, God. I'm fairly certain we covered it. But if I find anything else that I'm unaware of that we didn't talk about here, yeah, God, absolutely.
Yeah. I know this is WrestleMania week, and I said a year ago when this was announced that we should have a live broadcast from my place. at WrestleMania. I know right now it's short notice and it's probably not going to happen, but if anyone would like to watch WrestleMania at my place or want to see my big deck, my door is open. So please, by all means, we'll experience the magic of WrestleMania. And there's stuff going on in Philly all week. The convention center is having lots of guests in. Pat McAfee's doing a show live from the convention center this week. There's a WrestleMania bar on South Street. It's a club. They play nothing but WWE entrance music in like a party mix. Mark Henry is going to be the DJ. Yes, Ash, you are always welcome to sit on my big
desk. Ash, I don't think you realize what you've just done.
Yes, you really don't, because I have a hardwood deck, and you're more than welcome to bounce it on
it. It smells wonderful.
Yes, it does. Hardwood deck.
Oh my God. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Where the fuck is this goddamn? Sorry.
This goddamn what?
I was looking for the end screen I had to upload real quick and I could not find it. Yeah, so that's very interesting. That's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How am I the one blushing? Well, it's a big deck.
Yeah, Dan's
seen I've been on his big deck. Craig, where are you in your big deck on social media?
We're in a wild, wild world of sports. Are you going? We're in the world of Carmen San Diego. My big deck and me can be found on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Threads. And Toctic at Craig Lagons, CraigLeGones.
And you can follow me on social media on most platforms. And when a new one comes along, it'll be me as well, at DanLaw83. For Craig Lagons, I am... Oh, wait, hold on. Before you do that, go ahead. Do it again. For Craig Lagons, I am the above average comedian, Dan Colchico. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Maybe one.
Maybe sooner.
I'm stretching... stretching for time. Oh, it's still processing. Well, shit. Well, we're not going to get an end video this week, folks. Keep it on the paper. Okay, that's the end of the broadcast part. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, let me know what you think. This came out of nowhere. I didn't know I just saw that CM Punk was trending worldwide, and he kept trending, and he kept, and it's like, oh, what? And it's like, oh, wait, this is real? And so he's talking about Jack Perry? So when was this? Oh, it's live. Oh, it's still going on. And so by the time I turned it on, he had already been talking for an hour about it, and he answered everything. And again, why Punk reminded me of you, not just with the say what you want about me, but leave me alone. He said, it's like, I'll always tell the truth. I don't care how I look, how it makes me. And he talked about being fired on his wedding. He talked about his wife and, you know, everything.
I simply reached an age where I do not care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't. Wrestling's afforded me nothing. It hasn't. And then when I, and at the slightest disagreement, you have fucking pieces of shit like Joey Janela, who will just go, well, you're just a fat piece of shit, never made money in this business. Well, I'm sorry I didn't like the one fucking thing you did, even though I've been blowing you virtually online for 10 goddamn years. Sorry that one thing I thought was stupid. I'll see you when I see it. Oh, yeah, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people I feared. You ain't one of them.
Yep.
You have to better men than you have tried.
Yeah,
and I still don't hate him, but that pisses me off.
I get it. Yeah,
you went there. You went the easy internet troll route with it, like the fat joke. That's all you got. I thought my response was, while everybody else was like, FIFA, I would replace that. That's not working. While everybody else was like, oh, he's got you running scared. And I just responded, I made $20 once, but I lost it in the bathroom. Yeah, I'll see you next time. Right, pull up, bro.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, man. Not that hard to find. You can search my name. It's very unique.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's same. Mine too. It's like, yeah. I'm not hard to find.
Stop molesting me.
Never.
It's almost done processing. There we go. Good night, everyone.